Joining us now on the FanCast Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. He is Joe Bartel, fantasy football for RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. It's been a minute, Mr. Bartel. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I might have selfishly been watching Joey Ortiz actually get a hit before I hopped on. So it's good to know that you updated me that they did score a run. I didn't want to stick around for all of that.
Yeah, Collins then struck out. So let's talk a little bit about where we are from a fantasy football perspective, right? So when I was growing up and I was playing, and this is, I mean, I didn't stop really playing. I used to be in like seven leagues. So I didn't really pull that back until within the last like 7 to 10 years, I kind of pulled that back. But normally every year you would go in and have a good idea of the top few picks and so forth. You felt really confident of what it was, and you had a good idea of what the first 5 or 6 picks were going to be. Then maybe there was some debate the rest of the first round. Are you confident in what, say, the first 5 picks are going to be in, what order they're going to be in as we sit here today?
Yes, I would say to a degree. I think you could know that. I've made the argument now in a bunch of different podcast formats that I think the first round this year, I really have zero issue with the first 12 picks. There has been some people, and I think this is a correct statement, there's effectively 15 first round picks in the first 12, 15
picks. Are any Packers?
Jacobs is probably the mid-second round pick. He's the first one to go. He would not be, I think, in that category. So whether it's some combination of Jamar Chase, Bijan Robinson, Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb, that's normally how the first 5 or 6 picks end up going. But to what degree people have them ranked, I think it's up for debate at least.
Bijan Robinson? Listen, I loved Bijan Robinson coming out of school. I did. And then that first year, I was like, oh boy, this is not turning out the way that I thought it was going to turn out. And then last year, he got better, yeah. But now this year, you're giving a Michael Penix at quarterback. That is a huge mystery box at this point. And all we've been talking about so far in the beginning of training camp is how Kyle Pitts is finally going to have his breakout year after being in the league for 10 years. It's not been 10 years, but it feels like it. And so now we're going to see more Kyle Pitts. Sell me on Bijan Robinson. Sell me that they know actually how to use him now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great call. A lot of people often do the Family Guy reference where, oh, this mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat.
Yes.
He has a boat opportunity right there. I think the opposite of this is Kirk Cousins was awful. I mean, objectively, really, really bad last year, to the point where I thought there's no way they go to Michael Penix until year 3 when that Cousins contract is done. Of course, go to the end of last season. He's obviously going to stick around as the starter this year. That Michael Penix is going to be, I think, by default, an upgrade over Bijan Robinson, and Robinson still had 1,600 total yards last year, 15 touchdowns. That's an easy selling point to say this guy, relative to the volume issues that you might have for Saquon Barkley, 408 touches last year, including the postseason. Jahmyr Gibbs splits time with David Montgomery. Of those three top running backs, Bijan, I think, clearly has the most defined role and expectation to be a fantasy relevant factor. That Kyle Pitts may or may not do anything, that we've heard that siren song now the past 3 years.
Yes, we have.
Does not impact it at all. In my mind, it's Drake London and it's Bijan Robinson. And if the Falcons are going to do anything in the NFC South, it's dependent on those two guys, not just producing from an NFL perspective, but fantasy-wise, living up to their ADP. So I will be drafting Bijan Robinson as the first running back. And yeah, you might have been upset about what happened his rookie year, but last year, again, over 1,600 total yards and 15 touchdowns. That was in a worse offensive system than I think we'll see with Michael Penix here.
Is that Pius Sterrels that just hit another Oh, no, that wasn't. That was Dansby Swanson.
Dansby Swanson.
Thank
yeah.
God. It doesn't really matter, though. Swanson, an RBI double, not 6-3 Cubs over the Brewers as we sit at this point here, top of 6. So my other thing about this is so often you go into a season, you're really excited about different rookies, and then most of the time they let you down. They don't pan out for till their second or their third year, right? And then you don't have them anymore, and you're like, damn it, I knew he was going to be good. But, of course, when I had him, he didn't do jack. So tell me the 2 or 3 rookies that you're high on as we sit here today.
Yeah, last time we talked, it was actually at the NFL draft.
Yes.
I came on the live studio and got to do that with you guys. That was a lot of fun. I did call correctly that they were going to take a receiver in the
first round.
I didn't know if it was going to be Matthew Golden or not. That was pretty cool. We've had this conversation past years as well, too, where I think the rookie receiver class in particular will get pushed up in fantasy often because we've seen Brian Thomas, even Justin Jefferson his rookie year, Ja'Marr Chase. A lot of these receivers of the past 4 or 5 years have been really, really relevant fantasy odds. I don't think that applies this year. Now, you do need to go in entering your fantasy drafts knowing you want to take Travis Hunter or not. I don't want to make that risk or assumption he's going to be all offense.
Did you hear what he said yesterday? I think it was yesterday. He plans on playing almost every snap of every game. That's his plan right now. Now, are they actually going to let him do that? That's what we need to see.
I would love to see an NFL player do that over the course of the season. It is yet to occur. And I think athletes like Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson would be able to do that more, and that has not been able to happen. So I don't think a guy like Travis Hunter, who is only 6 foot, sub 200 pounds, that he could stand up to tackling Jonathan Taylor and then going out and running 4 or 5 routes in a single drive or sequence. I don't believe that happens over the course of a 17-game season. If you do, and if you think Travis Hunter is a talented enough receiver to benefit in that scenario, more power to you. His ADP, in my mind, average draft position is far too high for that. Tet McMillan, the other first-round rookie receiver that was drafted highly for the Panthers. Then there's a lot of bodies to feed in Carolina that I'm not going that direction. The rookie running backs, though, this is probably the most that we've had in terms of guys to draft and easy enough volume to do so that I've seen in some time. RJ Harvey, Broncos guy, is kind of a sleeperish one in the 5th or 6th round. Caleb Johnson, of course, our Big Ten emphasis with Iowa going to the Steelers, filling in the Najee Harris role. And then there's the two that are going to be drafted very high. Ashton Jeanty right now is a top 10 pick. And then Amarin Hampton, post Najee Harris superficial eye injury, is now more categorically a 3rd round selection too. So those are your first two rookies off the board every single time. And I'll take both of them just about every single time. Jeanty more due to volume, but I think Hampton, if Najee Harris is to miss some sort of time, could really just be one of the stars, I think, from a draft value perspective right now.
I realize it's only training camp, but I saw a highlight or two so far in training camp for Breshard Smith of the Chiefs. He looks pretty good to me, man.
Yep, Breshard Smith. We have Elijah Mitchell as well, too, in that backfield. And I think Isaiah Pacheco right now, with where he is being drafted as a 7th or 8th round value, is one of the best spots. And this is my whole point, and we'll be talking about this many, many times, I imagine, throughout the course of the season. I'm going to end up waiting on running backs, at least my running back 2 position, because I can get a Pacheco, a Caleb Johnson. I can go get a Ramondre Stevens if I really want to, round 7 or later. And I think that's a really, really great spot to then load up on receivers early in your draft, tight end, quarterback, if you want to go that direction, too. And I think Pacheco is the right answer to who has the obvious potential to boom above round 2, 3, 4 of their ADP or they're currently at an average draft value. But I do like Breshard Smith as a pass catcher. I mean, there were instances for the Chiefs the past couple of years where Jerick McKinnon had fantasy relevance as a waiver wire pickup multiple times. And this is this Andy Reid offense that's still the same. If Breshard Smith can do that sort of thing for that offense, which is tough to ask for a rookie to do, you're getting him at like one of the very last picks in best ball drafts right now, probably in redraft leagues. You're not even going that direction yet. I think he is a very interesting selection if you believe the Chiefs offense, like I do, is going to be better this season.
Talking with Joe Bartel, fantasy football for RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Joined us last year on Fridays during the football season. Hopefully we can be able to make something work again this year to have Joe on answering your fantasy football questions throughout the year on a Football Friday here on The Fan. All right, let's talk about that tight end position, because I think the tight end position is becoming in vogue again in the National Football League, where not only are teams wanting to make sure they have one, now teams are kind of eyeing up maybe trying to have two as well. Look at the Chicago Bears, for example.
Yeah, you might have been following my Twitter account. I've been posting about one particular rookie tight end on JB Fantasy Sports a lot. And I'll go out and say it right now for all you the listeners. I think the fantasy value at the moment is Mason Taylor for the Jets. We'll get to him in a second. But talking about Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland, who were both top 12, top 15 selections in this draft. And you look at Brock Bowers last year, of course, Sam Laporta, his rookie year as well, too. The tight end position is in vogue. I think that's correct. Now, my biggest concern is that NFL teams to date, and for a long, long time, you think about O.J. Howard as the perfect example to this.
Yeah.
Well, he's a really good run blocker. And then they don't actually use him at all in the passing game. Like you can be a relevant person for a football team at the tight end position and not be involved in the passing game. I think that's important, especially in the case of Colston Loveland, who I don't know. I mean, there was many instances with Ben Johnson's offense where Brock Wright, of all people, will be out there along with Sam Laporta. Like that two tight end facet for Ben Johnson and the Bears now does make a difference. It's Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland. There's still Cole Kmet, though. And that's my biggest issue with this, that once Cole Kmet is gone, Colston Loveland becomes more of a fantasy factor. Right now, Loveland's being drafted as tight end 11, normally like your 9th or 10th round selection. I'm not going down that route. I don't know if I want to buy into the Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson offense with the Colts, so Tyler Warren is also not of interest to me. I have been just literally not drafting a tight end to one of my last picks, and this worked out a couple of years ago when I got rookie tight end Sam Laporta correct. I don't think that Mason Taylor will operate the same way as Sam Laporta, but you can literally get Mason Taylor for free right now. And outside of Garrett Wilson, there is literally nobody else for the Jets to throw the football to other than the rookie Mason Taylor, who had late first-round buzz entering draft season. I think Mason Taylor is a good run blocker, so entering the O.J. Howard problem of things. But by default in today's NFL, there has to be at least two targets that have fantasy value. Why not the guy that has a lot of draft pedigree for the Jets and is effectively free right now? So Mason Taylor is, I think, my favorite sleeper in fantasy at the moment.
Where does Tucker Kraft rank amongst tight ends as we sit here today?
Right in that Colston Loveland, Tyler Warren, David Njoku range, which is about round 9 or round 10. And I think he goes at tight end 10. He is probably one of the highest risers at the moment. Not that everyone buys into training camp hype necessarily, but we've heard a lot of good things about Jaden Reed and Matthew Golden and Romeo Doubs. That all happens like every other day. The consistent praise that we keep seeing right now in the fantasy community is Tucker Kraft is going to be a major target for Jordan Love. I have some reservations as a Packer fan because I've watched this unfold, and I really think Luke Musgrave is going to be a factor too, right? He was not a part of the offense basically all of last year. Coming back this year, I think we'll cut into Kraft's time. But if we believe the Packers' offense will pass more, and I do think they will with Jordan Love healthy, by default, Kraft is going to be the one that I think benefits in the red zone. So the ideal rule of thumb is either you are going to lead the team or second the team in targets or get 10-plus touchdowns. Kraft isn't going to lead the team in targets, but if he scores 10 times, that's a Robert Tonyan line. I wouldn't be surprised if that occurs at all, too. So Kraft, I would much rather have him over Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, who will go about two or three rounds earlier in drafts right now. I think Kraft is definitely a good value.
Brewers now down 8-3 as Kyle Tucker just roped one into the corner. Jared Kaning gives up that after D.L. Hall couldn't get anybody out in the sixth. This one may be starting to get away from the Brewers, down 5 now in the sixth. Time with Joe Bartel, Fantasy Football for RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. As we continue to talk about fantasy football and quarterbacks, where does Jordan Love rank right now, and is he a QB1 in fantasy right now?
Not right now, but he probably will be in the end of August. And I say it, I think people might have some like, why in the end of August? Why? What's 30 days going to make a difference for it? There's a bunch of quarterbacks like Caleb Williams, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert that are all being drafted slightly ahead of him or kind of being in the same range. And I really think there's going to be a positive upswell of, man, Jordan Love looks good in camp. You know, think about the mobility and agility that he didn't have last year with all the lower body injuries that he's now displaying, that people are going to recognize, oh yeah, this is the guy that threw 30 touchdowns just a couple of years ago. And that was really over a 10-game span. With more offensive pieces, with Matthew Golden getting some positive hype again, with Tucker Kraft conversation, Luke Musgrave coming back. There is no reason in my mind that if you're taking Jordan Love, it's not with the idea that he will be a quarterback one. And you could do it a little bit later. Bo Nix and Baker Mayfield are being drafted in the 7th or 8th round. I think Jordan Love is absolutely a quarterback on that same caliber, especially in the case of Bo Nix. So in my mind, you can typically choose to wait unless you're drafting Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, or Josh Allen. One of those four quarterbacks goes early on. If you're not taking one of those four, waiting until one of your final few picks for Jordan Love to be your quarterback one is an absolute bet and upside. And in the worst case scenario where he doesn't, and that hurts all of us as Packer fans, you can draft Michael Penix or Matthew Stafford or even Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh if you want to. Like, there's a lot of available options super late in drafts that you're sort of protected in the worst case scenario for Love. So in my mind, it's a no-brainer. He's a quarterback one, but he's not being drafted like that.
So Josh Jacobs is a starter. I think Tucker Kraft ends up being a starter at tight end for leagues where you have to start a tight end. So I get down with that. Any receivers going to start in these fantasy leagues? Let's say it's 10 teams. Do any of these receivers start?
This is the fascinating question right now, and I think a lot of people are kind of muddled with this sort of thought process. At the moment, if you're in a 10-team league, Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, and Romeo Doubs are probably outside of your starting roster. I would be drafting Jaden Reed in 12-team leagues as my wide receiver 4 often in the 7th or 8th round, and there is reason to believe, again, that Jaden Reed could be the primary target for this offense. I have made the case now for the past 2 or 3 years Matt LaFleur doesn't want that. This isn't a Davante Adams situation. Like, these guys are all siloed into a certain role within that scheme, whether it be Romeo Doubs in the third round conversions, red zone opportunities. Jaden Reed does that crossing routes in the intermediate level. Matthew Golden runs straight down the field. Same with Christian Watson last year. Those can all be fantasy prominent things on a week-to-week basis, but here's my defined starter who I could put in each and every week. That does not come from the Packers receiving core yet. If we're to assume there is going to be a player, I still think it's Jaden Reed, but it's possibly also Matthew Golden, given the draft capital invested in him. And if Matthew Golden is as sure-handed as we kind of heard coming out of college, there is a role in that offense that we desperately needed, we as a Packer fan desperately needed last year, that I think Matthew Golden could rise above that. Will he be Davante Adams in this offense? No. But if you're trying to speculate as to who could be, why not the guy that was a first-round pick for the first time in 21 years at the receiver position for the Packers?
Playing really well in training camp early on, that's for sure. Joe Bartel, fantasy football for RotoWire. Follow him on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Good stuff as always, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.